radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Pretty well hit. Center field. Back goes Isbell. That is number 30. Yordan, back-to-back home runs, and the Astros lead 4-1.
Four-game sweep of the Royals, 8-6 over the toughest stretch of the year, 5 wins in a row, season-high 13 games above 500, up 6 games on the Seattle Mariners, just 3 games back of the Guardians for the 2 seed, and the Astros wrap up 18 games in 18 days this afternoon with Justin Verlander on the hill against a guy with a 6.43 ERA. Times are good. Hello, I am
Hello.
Back.
Joe, welcome back.
What is up, bud?
I missed you.
You missed me?
I did. I also missed football, and football's back.
Football is back. We saw some college football last night.
Mm-hmm.
Great game between USC and LSU.
Go Trojans.
Texas A&M, disappointing.
Oh, that catch that they just showed on TV was so sick.
It was.
The one-handed catch in the middle of the field, incredible.
I mean, that guy made 2 awesome catches last night for USC. The Aggies lost to Notre Dame. I suppose it was a noble loss, considering Connor Wigman doesn't know how to throw the football. Texas is back. Sean's Horns, they got a 52-0 win. We saw a little Arch Manning. Everything is good on this Monday, Labor Day. And I got to say, I'm a little bit ashamed to be working today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's Labor Day.
I know.
What are we doing here, first
We're
of all?
Getting comp days.
Okay. Working. For those who don't know, a comp day is a compensation day where we work on a holiday in exchange for another day off down the road. I still ask that question. I know that my pop-up, who's dead and gone forever, but God bless him. I never got to meet him. He was a longshoreman at the Philly docks, and I'm pretty sure that that man who was ripping butts all the way to the end would put a cigarette out on my chest right now, this World War II veteran, for being a scab and breaking the labor pact on this Labor Day.
Or would he say, Paul, you don't have a real job, you should be working?
No, he wouldn't say
that. Okay.
He would say, you got to take this day off. Because bleep the bosses.
But here's the thing. If this was any other Monday in the last month and a half, I would feel different. I'm just so glad football's back.
And it helps. It's not really
but
back.
We're so close. We're so close.
See, how many times have we said that? How many times did you say that last week when I was gone?
But, Paul, there's literally a football game that matters on Thursday.
That's true.
The Chiefs and the Ravens. Thursday night football.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely said football is back last Thursday.
Definitely.
While at LaBerge.
But we were talking about college football.
Okay.
And to be fair, when we were at LaBerge, college football actually was back because games were happening.
I don't know if college football was really back. I mean, we saw some ugly-ass football over the weekend, right?
Yeah, it started. Started versus back are two different things.
It's
That's
the preseason.
Fair.
I mean, the Georgia-Clemson game, Clemson looks terrible. There's a lot of bad football the first couple of weeks. Really, the USC-LSU game, okay, maybe I can admit that football's back. But the Astros are back to being the Houston Astros. It's really nice to see that I could go away, much like I left my cat here in Houston when I was gone in Colorado and in Boston, that I can leave the Astros alone by themselves and that they take care of business. And I'm ready to plop my Schmenzer on the table with a big old take right here, okay?
Ooh.
Sean, could I get some, I don't know, maybe like lightning strike sound effects or something like that? Because I'm about to go Paul Stradamus, okay? I'm about to go Paul Stradamus. I have my wizard hat on right now. And after seeing the Astros win 5 in a row, after seeing the Astros go 8-6 over the season toughest stretch, I am making a bold prediction right now. The Astros will play in the American League Championship Series.
Let's go.
And you have all seen it right here. The man who once correctly predicted, didn't pull it out of his butt, that the Houston Texans would go 10-7 is now predicting that your Houston Astros will be in an eighth straight American League Championship Series. Bam! I'm a powerful magician.
I'm gonna side with the magician here, Paul.
You're in?
I'm with you. I will stand with my fellow scab today, and I will join you and say, Astros ALCS. Eighth straight. I don't have a cool hat.
I bought this so that I could live stream myself playing Harry Potter.
No. That's not kidding. True.
I did. I bought this so I could live stream myself playing Harry Potter, and then I found out the game doesn't work on my computer.
What house are you?
Slytherin.
All right, let me shoot a text out to our friends at the Space Cowboys. They did a Harry Potter night, and they had Harry Potter jerseys. So I'll see if I can get you a Slytherin jersey.
Yeah. I think that makes me a racist by proxy if I'm a Slytherin.
I don't think so.
I think it does, right? Were there any good Slytherins?
No, but that doesn't mean you're racist.
I don't know. Slytherins,
there's
Nazis?
A lot of good people on both sides.
Yeah.
Look at Draco Malfoy, Slytherin number one. My God. He's more Aryan than the master race.
But there's black guys in the Slytherin.
That's true. There are.
No, they don't show up until the last two movies. But, like, they're there.
Anyway, I'm gonna continue to wear this hat, but I think now with the Astros schedule the rest of the way really easy, the AL West is done. And I know we got in trouble for this last year where we called the Rangers dead at about this time, and the division was very, very close until the very end. I don't see the Mariners turning things around. And if there was a moment for the Astros to falter and potentially blow this, it would have been these last 14 days. So now I'm looking at the Guardians. A Guardians team that was struggling against this very Kansas City Royals team that you beat four games in a row earlier this past week. And I'm thinking to myself, you really got a chance at the first round bye. I think it's going to happen too. I mean, what they did, especially of late, to wrap up a month where they're still dealing with injuries in the rotation and in the pitching staff and in the lineup, and they're squeaking by at the plate, but the offense, the pitching for this team, tops in baseball this past month. And I mean, everyone is contributing. Hunter Brown looks great. Yusei Kikuchi finally goes seven innings over the weekend. Framber Valdez almost throws another no-hitter. Everything is really coming together at the perfect time. And assuming health, which is always something you can't do with this team, you feel really good about their ability to do all of the things that we expect them to do on an annual basis.
Yeah, the Astros put this out. The Astros' 2.51 ERA in August was the best in Major League Baseball. And their 185 opponents' batting average was the second lowest in any month by any team in MLB history.
That's pretty good.
I mean, you're having a historic level run from your pitching staff. They've been incredible. All these guys, they're getting contributions from Spencer Arrighetti. And like you said, Hunter Brown, even Blanco has had, you know, good starts. And now he's going to move to the bullpen at some point. Dana Brown said on the flagship yesterday. So that's going to strengthen your bullpen. Hector Neris has been pretty good when he's not facing Bobby Witt. Gave up back-to-back home runs or back-to-back days with home runs against him. But I'm with you. The way the Guardians are playing, the way, you know, the AL West is shaping out, the AL West is done. I'm with you. Seattle, it's different than last year. They fired their manager. They had an opportunity when they went 2-1 to start after they fired Scott Service. I think they won their next series as well. It was because the Giants and then the Rays. And then they just lost 2-3 to the Angels. They're six games back. They're collapsing on themselves. Their offensive additions that they made at the deadline have made zero contribution. And it really feels that the last three games of the season, Paul, when you play the Cleveland Guardians, be your first playoff series, because it might determine if you're playing it in a three-game series or a five-game series.
I totally forgot that that is the last series of the year. That will be interesting to see how both teams handle that. I mean, you want to skip around, no doubt about it. And there's a very good chance that both teams will be within striking distance of one another. I guess you could maybe make the case that with the way that the Astros are playing of late, that maybe those three games won't matter.
That'd be nice.
With the way the Guardians are playing and just with the actual strength of the American League Central, which, unlike the AL West, is actually a good division, then maybe that helps them out a little bit. But yeah, I'm coming back. I'm feeling really good about where this team is. And it's interesting because, you know, the first weekend I'm gone, where they lose 2-3 to the Phillies and they split the series with the Baltimore Orioles. You might be wavering a little bit They took care of business. That was it. That was the toughest stretch of the entire season. 8-6 is pretty good. I was looking for 7-7. 8-6 is better than what I was looking for.
Yeah, when we were talking about it last week, it's they should have swept Baltimore, but we felt okay on Monday that they split the series. But they had leads in both the Friday and Saturday game. And then, you know, you lose the first two games of the Philly series, and you definitely feel a lot worse. It changes the perspective of the Orioles series, but then it all balances out with the five-game winning streak, starting with the 10-0 win against the Phillies on Wednesday. And really, you're only like challenging. You have sporadically hard series. You have, you know, the 77-win Diamondbacks coming up after the Reds. You've got the Padres later on around the 16th. They're also 77 wins right now and in the playoffs. And then you wrap up with the Guardians, but around that is seven games with the Angels mixed in, three games with the A's. Like, it would be a bye week is there for the taking because you're playing bums. And your pitching's elite right now. Yordan Alvarez is on a heater. Hit his first home run since June 22nd at home. Kyle Tucker's around the corner. Like, the vibes are just good. They're real good right now, Paul.
They are very good. It's nice to come back to that. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. You want to jump in on this Labor Day. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text the HRNP listener line. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN975 or on our YouTube channel. At ESPN Houston, you can tweet us too. At Gallant says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Coming up next, Joe just mentioned Kyle Tucker. Some very good news when it comes to a potential Kyle Tucker return. But we also have an interesting story when it comes to the Astros, because they always make it interesting when it comes to who's available and who's not. What are we talking about this time? Stick around, Gallant and George.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Jose to left, going back on it at the wall, and that ball is off the wall. Coming around third, and that's a game winner! An RBI double by Jose Altuve, and the Astros walk it off.
That a baby two.
How many times have we seen it?
We even got an Altuve walk off over the weekend, making up for Josh Hader, allowing a ninth inning home run that tied the game.
Never happened.
It is one of those things where it had been a while, so you're not as annoyed with Josh Hader as you might have been. Earlier in the regular season, but it was nice to see Altuve make up for that as the Astros get a four-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals over the weekend. And on top of that, they've won now five games. They lead the AL West by six. They're three back of Cleveland for the number two spot in the American League, which means that they wouldn't have to play in that BS wild card round that we never want to see the Astros in. We do have a couple of contributions to the conversation. From the 8-3-2, if we can get consistent offense to match the pitching, that'd be great. Do you see consistent offense coming from this team when they're healthy?
No.
You think so? You think it's just not going to be a regular thing?
Sporadic at best. I mean, because you have Yordan and Bregman when he's healthy, and Altuve and Tucker when he's healthy, and Pena and Ben Gamel. Like, hey, look.
His walk-up song's cool.
Hey. He's been hitting fifth, okay? And he hit a home run this weekend in the Altuve walk-off game. They can do enough. I don't know if they'll be consistent, but with the pitching, I think they can do enough to get you wins.
It's tougher to do it in the playoffs, but the pitching has been doing such a great job of late. If this does continue, and it has been a season-long thing, even with all the injuries, it's beyond me. But I'm happy with it, and pitching does win you championships. You're going to need, though, those bats to perform. Yordan doing what he did yesterday, getting two home runs at Minute Maid, which for whatever reason he just couldn't do this year, makes me feel better about them changing the batter's eye color, which they did, even though the team was hitting better at home and winning at home this year. So we'll see if the offense can be a little more consistent, but Joe's not feeling it, and I'll agree at this moment in time. Another text from the 936. Slytherin is the Clemson of Hogwarts. In the first segment, I did a prediction that the Astros are going to the ALCS. I put on a Wizards hat, and I shared with everybody that I would be Slytherin in Hogwarts. For those who don't know, Hogwarts is a fictional school for witchcraft and wizardry. It's a children's book series, young adult book series. And Slytherin was known as the racist house. Which also was the house.
I just love the way you're describing this.
Which also was the house of Wizard Hitler, aka true. Voldemort. I'm just sharing with people who don't know. So I'm from, based off of an online test that I took, I would have been selected into that same house, four houses, as Wizard Hitler, aka Voldemort.
It is funny that they did have a school. And like one house is like, this is where all the bad guys go.
Yeah. Right.
Like this is where the evil kids go.
Pretty much.
I mean, yeah. Just, you know, put them, but that way it's like, it's easier to contain them probably. Mm-hmm. You saw all the bad kids in a corner. You're just like, hey, we only got to keep an eye on this.
We know what they're about.
Yeah. Like we know this group, we know what they're about. Instead of spreading them out and mixing them in, having to, you know, figure out who's good, who's bad. Those are the bad kids.
It's weird because they're portrayed as ambitious and honestly doesn't seem to be much of a difference between Gryffindor is like the cool kid house.
Uh-huh.
Hufflepuff is where the dorks go.
Yep.
And Ravenclaw is where the nerds go. Now, the difference between a nerd is the nerds are smart, and the dorks, Hufflepuff, honestly, a lot of people think that they're to be frank, it is Labor Day. I don't think many people are listening. Pussies. So, like, that's just Hufflepuff's reputation.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the
reputation. Yeah. Everyone, like, Cedric Diggory. Which greatest Hufflepuff does that come ever. Up? Dead. Dead. Anyway, sorry, that's way too much Harry Potter for one show.
You know what? It's Labor Day. Anything goes. At this point, like, anything goes. Whatever questions you guys want to ask us, like, Paul's got airplane stories. I've got a criminal in my house.
You got a criminal? What did Junior do this time?
See my glasses?
Oh, he broke your glasses?
Stole them. Can't find them.
He does that a lot, though, right?
But they're real gone this time.
That's a you problem. But by this point, you should have learned. You need to get lanyards for them or something.
I know, but
wait, like a teacher? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
But you've told me this before.
I know I know this is not the first time, but this time they're real gone.
Or buy a pair, keep one like in your car.
Yeah, I guess we're moving to contacts. I think I'm just done with glasses. We're going back to contacts full time. It alleviates all these issues until he finds a way to steal the contacts. Then I can't drive. Like then we have a real problem. So one step at a time. But yeah. Oh, also, Yordan Alvarez hit, what, 3 home runs in the Phillies series? Or the last game of the Phillies series? That was awesome, too. When he's on a heater, he's like he's maybe the best hitter in baseball.
Basically, when you see Yordan on a heater, you just think to yourself, please, for the love of God, don't get hurt doing something really trivial and minor. Just don't do that. Thank you. That's all we're looking for. Speaking of, it's time for another episode of Astros ER.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears in his eyes.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Great update when it comes to Kyle Tucker. At least based off of Joe Espada and Dana Brown, we could see Kyle Tucker potentially Wednesday or Thursday in this weird 3-game series against Cincinnati featuring an off day in the middle of the series. I can't remember ever seeing something like this, but that's besides the point. Tucker might not need a rehab assignment. He took live batting practice yesterday and he hit a home run. He has been out, as we all know, since June 3rd. So we are a day away from 3 months.
And he's in Cincinnati, which they said was possible. Which that does lean to the fact that maybe he is going to play on Wednesday or Thursday. Because that was one of the questions was just, does he actually travel with the team? He's there, Matt Cowher from the Chronicle said. So that's a very positive update as well. So maybe it's time. It's Kyle Tucker time?
I'm curious what he's going to be like for the first couple of games.
Can't How be worse long? Than Chaz?
That is a great point.
But he can be worse than Ben Gamble.
Gamble's playing well.
I know he is.
I'm very surprised by that. To see that, I think he's got something like what? Like 11 hits his first 30 at-bats? That was at least a tweet I saw. I was getting yelled at regularly over the course of the week for looking on my phone and looking on Twitter and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dad gets mad at me. He thinks I'm addicted to my phone. And to a degree, he is correct. I didn't need to be looking at it as much as I did.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, you had to come back to work at some point.
Yeah, I was trying to keep tabs on it. It was nice, though, to go away, and the Astros just took care of business over and over again. The weird Astros injury update. Chaz McCormick, who you might remember, was demoted last week so that the Astros could add Jason Hayward. He is back because Jake Meyers is on the paternity list. So McCormick can come back even though he was demoted less than 10 days ago because somebody's on the paternity list. A player placed on Major League Baseball's paternity list must miss one game, but no more than three games. So I imagine he's just going to miss this entire Cincinnati series. Nice that they have a little day off in the middle and join the Astros for their next series. This is going to tick some people off. Don't care. I am a big believer that if you are planning to have kids and you're an athlete, you should try to have them during the offseason. I get it. Some people have different religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Accidents happen.
Life is more important than sports. And accidents happen. All sorts of things. But if you can, I'm a big believer you should try to do it during the offseason. Now,
At least.
The Astros are kind of in the offseason phase of their schedule.
Yeah, like it's not the postseason.
Right.
You know, so it's still, you know, it's 162. That's what the only reason why I give baseball players a pass on that is you've got like a 3 month, 4 month window here, like from, because you're the Astros. So you have November through February, I guess the middle of March of like when your best time to have a baby is. It's a small window. Unlike football players and things like that. So give him a little bit of a break here.
Do we get paternity leave here at this company? Do we get paid over paternity leave? Okay. I'm looking at the Family and Medical Leave Act is a law that requires covered employers to provide at least 12 weeks of unpaid paternity leave time after the birth or adoption of a child.
Unpaid?
Right. I don't know why it says unpaid.
So I think that means that I could leave for 3 months. If we were having another
and
baby.
You won't lose your job.
And my job will come back.
But won't get paid.
Yeah. We get paid 2 weeks.
Maybe. So I guess the typical benefit is 60 to 70% of your weekly salary. But very bizarre. Anyway, I know some people get really nice paternity leave time. And you can be gone for quite some time. Don't worry about that with me in the near future. Alex Bregman. He's a father. He has missed the last three games due to the elbow injury that he is dealing with. He also will be out for today's game. He played on Thursday, but he got ejected from the game.
Yeah, that's a weird one because, like Sean and I were talking about last week, they kept, you know, we talked about the gremlins and managing it, but then all of a sudden he just kept playing third base. And it's like, everything's fine. And then he gets ejected from the game, and then now he hasn't played since. And he was available yesterday if they needed him, but he's not in the lineup today, so my guess is that they just feel comfortable with where they're at in the division and who they're playing, and maybe he'll be back on Wednesday. Maybe like Wednesday we'll get Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman back in the lineup on the same day. That'd be nice. But the Bregman injury is just, he said they're going to have to manage it. I guess this is managing it, where he's just going to miss chunks of games in the regular season so that way he can tough it out in the playoffs.
Yeah. I wonder if it can get to a point where it feels better enough for him to play third base. I'm guessing no. And you're going to have to continue to throw randos out there. Shea Whitcomb days.
Great. I mean, I guess in the playoffs, maybe in the playoffs, it's Dubon who's going to be at third base today.
Dubon's the only guy that I want playing third base in the playoffs.
Yeah, when it comes to playoff time, that's the guy who should be out there.
I no offense to Shea Whitcomb. Sorry, I don't want to see him out there at any point during the postseason.
And hopefully they just don't play in any of those ballparks where they feel really uncomfortable with Yordan playing in left field. And maybe he's just going to have to play in left. And it'll be Bregman at third with Yordan in left. And then, you know, Dubon at third, or Whitcomb, I guess. But the more Doobie at third, the better in this scenario. But none of it's great.
Presley, by the way, Ryan Presley is back from a 15-day injured list stint for a lower back strain. That is Astros ER. Three games against the Cincinnati Reds with a weird off day. Do you know why the off day is happening?
No, I don't.
I'm too lazy to look it up, but it's bizarre.
It's like they had a very few amount of games today, which is stupid because Major League Baseball, this is why they're the worst, a day in which most people in the country are not working,
And instead of having a full slate of games, you have only half the league playing. Then you have teams off tomorrow.
Baseball's labor union, man. Strong.
I was going to say, I assume it's because they're playing on Labor Day that they get the next day off. But I don't know.
No, the Yankees play tomorrow.
And they play today and tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's a full slate of games tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just the, oh, except for like the Astros.
It's bizarre.
Is there something going on in Cincinnati?
That's what I was thinking. Is there a Taylor Swift concert or something? That's what I assumed was happening.
Won't be at the Reds place, though.
Yeah. What is happening? Is it Skyline Chili Night at the ballpark?
Is it Harambe Day?
You know what, though? That's a good one. When did Harambe?
I think it was over the summer.
I was saying, I feel like we're like in Harambe season.
When did Harambe?
Like, we're like,
it was like June.
May 28th.
Yeah.
2016.
Okay. So we missed it.
It's pretty sad that I know that off the top of my head. I was pretty close. I mean, off the top
this is
head.
Like, what year was that?
2016.
So what, you were in college?
Yeah, I was 20.
So that's like when Harambe died. For the kids who were in college,
big
like
news in my
they
life.
Made it a big deal. Like, there was t-shirts and everything. So I see why that moment stuck with you, Sean.
So tomorrow there's the Sisters Circle weekly virtual meetup.
Okay.
That's
in
virtual.
Cincinnati. But that's also virtual, right. The Goron Technique, a monumental breakthrough in mental health.
Okay.
There's the singles party with Marissa M.
That might be it.
Tomorrow at 8 in Cincinnati. And there's Business Behind with Rob Carlisle. That's at the Metropolitan Club, 4:30 tomorrow. Tickets are $20. The Bar Chatting Friendship Night, which is at 10 a.m.
What?
Tomorrow. Maybe Cincinnati's a bunch of alcoholics. Turn Up Dance Fitness with Love. Nothing is happening in Cincinnati tomorrow to merit a day off for the Astros.
Yeah, there's random day off.
Okay. It's bizarre. Anyway, the Astros play tonight. Excuse me, this afternoon. They do not play tomorrow night against the Reds. Two games after that. Up next, college football's first real weekend is in the books. And last night, we saw something really, really funny that I'm sure a lot of people will crack up at when you hear it next. Stick around, Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros on a roll, 5 dubs in a row, 6 games up on the Mariners in the AL West after a 4-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals yesterday, completed with Yordan Alvarez getting 2 home runs. Nice way to wrap things up. They got the Cincinnati Reds this afternoon with Justin Verlander on the hill. I don't know who the Cincinnati guy is, but his ERA is 6.43, so I'm guessing he sucks.
I think that's a fair assumption. I also don't know who it is, but if you have that big of an ERA, you're usually pretty bad.
Unless you're Yusei Kikuchi, you're just being misused.
Well, yeah, I mean, like if they traded for this Julian Aguirre, if the Astros did, I'd say he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 ERA by a couple starts.
Guaranteed. They figure it out every single time. So, yesterday we had a great college football game. I don't know how many people got to watch it. More on that in a moment. But, ultimately, USC, newest member of the Big Ten, at the Death Star in Las Vegas, they marched down the field for a last-minute victory over the LSU Tigers and Brian Kelly. After the game was the funniest thing for a lot of people who are diehard college football fans, because I feel like when it comes to college football coaches, Joe, there are few figures with a lower Q rating than LSU head coach Brian Kelly. And I'm not talking about because of his tendency to try to workshop Southern accents. I'm more talking about the time he had the video person that was recording practice during what was a tornado at Notre Dame, and that person fell and died, and it's a really sad story. It doesn't really, I don't know, I think a lot of people are wondering how much remorse was there. But after LSU lost, Brian Kelly got a little bit cranky.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again
talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put him away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach.
The headline on ESPN reads, Brian Kelly slams fist in anger after loss to USC.
This is Brian Kelly 101. I mean, this is the same guy that he...
left Joe's Notre Dame program.
Yeah, misspoke when he said he wanted his players to execute better, but then was like, some of these players need to be executed.
That's just a slip of words. Hey, I mean, everyone does that. We jump down people's throats when it happened, but yeah. When it happens, but like just right there, I said happen instead of happens. Mistakes happen when you are speaking the English language.
He is 0-6 against the spread since 2019 in game one. His teams are always, they seem underprepared in the first game of the season. It was why Notre Dame fans had a beef with him. It's why LSU fans have one with him now, because he just seems unprepared in the big moments. And now sometimes it's quarterbacks. His quarterbacks are not good. He seems to have a really hard time recruiting them. He has never really had like an elite guy. He had Jaden Daniels last year. Mm-hmm. But like normally when he is his recruits, he seems to struggle to find them. But it just is one of those coaches that, to me, falls short in big games. Like, I know it's Notre Dame bias, but I think back to the playoff games, and when they're losing by 30 points and it's not even competitive.
Leaving Notre Dame bias, perhaps.
Yeah, leaving, for sure. It's definitely in there. I love watching Brian Kelly lose. He left Notre Dame.
Did you like him when he was at Notre Dame?
I was mixed.
You were mixed.
There was years I
even though he was the best coach that you guys had had in a really long time?
Because it felt like you could have better, but I did... It always felt like you could have better than Brian Kelly.
Notre Dame, there's a lot of programs, and no offense, Sean, Texas is also a part of this, that thinks they could do better than what they actually get. And, I mean, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, you're in South Bend, Indiana, for God's sakes. Like, I mean, the fact that you're winning any games or that anyone wants to go there, that anyone can get into the school with the academic restrictions is interesting. It's not that big of a deal that he loses the first game of the year every single year, though, now that the college football playoff has expanded, right? I mean,
doesn't matter.
This is going to be just in the rearview mirror. The Tigers are going to probably have a chance, ultimately, at the end of the year, to make it in as one of the 12 teams. It just might have to go a longer road.
It's definitely more frustrating, though. It's definitely, if you're an LSU fan, because it feels like they're always in that standalone, either Saturday night or the standalone, like they were last night, Sunday night game, where they lose, and they lose close. And
Florida State last year, right.
Well, Florida State, they didn't lose close. In their defense, they got blown out. But the year before, they lost on a missed extra point against Florida State in, I think that was a Sunday or Monday night game. Last year, blown out in a, I think that was a Saturday night. And last night, to lose that way and have to hold USC to 27 points and still lose is not something a lot of people had on their bingo cards. And I thought their quarterback, Nussmeier, is fine. But like he said, there was just weird execution down the stretch where them having to settle for the field goal to tie it 20-20, to me, that's kind of where they lost the game.
Yeah, they've got a weird schedule this year. It's not the most daunting. You know, right now, if you look at the current rankings, they've got only two games this season versus top 10 teams. The rest of the year, they got Ole Miss and Alabama, but they play A&M and Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, who beat Virginia Tech this weekend. But it's not the hardest SEC schedule. So their season's definitely not over. That's one of the reasons why I like the 12-team college football playoff. I know that it takes away some of the excitement, but I kind of hate the idea that you do schedule an out-of-conference game week one, and that game should matter and mean something, but then you lose that game and like your season's dead. I think that sucked with the BCS and the 14 playoffs. So I like the idea that you can lose to USC, but then have a great conference schedule and still make the college football playoff.
I never felt like it was that much of a detractor on a resume, because it really is the timing of when you lose. It always felt like you would ignore, to a degree, those early losses. But you're right. Now it almost matters zero.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU just has to take care of the SEC schedule a little bit more. I expect them to. They're always talented. It's just they always seem to have mental lapses no matter who the coach is.
Yeah.
Perhaps that is a reflection of the great state of Louisiana.
No, and the other thing for Brian Kelly, too, is if you look at the history of their coaches, a lot of their coaches, if not all of them, have won a national championship since Nick Saban in their second or third year. I mean, Saban, who was before Coach Orgeron that did it?
Les Miles.
Les Miles. That's the name I was looking for. They win early. I mean, so like that's part of the pressure, really, for him this year, is that you have that success early on as an LSU coach. And that's why there are expectations for this team. It could have been worse, but I do think the primetime in Vegas, all the cool videos of them taking over the casinos out there and, like, you know, bringing out the trumpets and playing neck and everything like that, like, all that stuff, just lose the game is just, it's tough.
Would have been tough if USC lost the game, too. I mean, these bozos who are generally just a bunch of rich kids that couldn't get into a real school in California and their rich parents pay for them to go to said school. I'm not bitter about USC at all, by the way, as you can tell with me describing this.
Did you try to get in?
No. Okay. Just the love of my life transferred there from Syracuse. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of it. But these film school bozos, in the video that they had, this like awesome little video that they had and showed, I want to say, just on all social media platforms before the game, shows a bunch of the Trojan players inside the Trojan horse. These dumbasses forgot that the Trojan horse is why the Trojans died. It's a mythological civilization, supposedly never existed. But the Greeks were in a long war with them in the book The Odyssey by Homer. And at the very end, the Greeks were like, F this, seemingly retreating. And they leave this giant wooden horse with wheels outside the city. And these bozo Trojans are like, oh, this is so cool, let's bring it inside the city. And there's a bunch of Greeks inside, and the Greeks just kill everybody, and they burn the whole city. That's why the Trojans lost, the Trojan horse. You should keep the Trojan horse away from you and any reference to it to you. You never have that in a video.
Yeah, you got to fact check when you're doing these, when these college kids are making videos. And then they had the mascot. His sword spike.
Oh, I saw that.
It did go well.
I mean,
it did go well.
There were a lot of moments before that game that made it seem like USC was going to lose, and they did. And I'm going to give Kyron Hudson all the credit, because Kyron Hudson had that ridiculous one-handed catch.
Mm-hmm.
The gloves are really strong these days. He also, though, the more impressive catch that I thought he had was down the stretch right before USC scored that last-second touchdown. He makes this incredible catch on the sideline. He gets rocked. I mean, I don't know if they ultimately called a targeting penalty. I saw the highlights. They did call a targeting penalty there. I'm not sure if it was, but that was a hell of a catch. And he hung on to it after getting absolutely decked by that LSU defender.
I thought they looked good. I was surprised with USC. I mean, this is a team that they went out and they brought in the North Dakota State head coach, right? And then the defensive coordinator from UCLA to be their co-defensive coordinators this year. I know it sounds stupid, but they just looked like they learned how to tackle for the first time in Lincoln Riley program history, whether it's there or Oklahoma. Their defense was pretty good. I mean, I thought Nussmeier was fine for LSU, but USC's defense was solid. It's better than what they've had in the last 2 years. So that, and Miller Moss, he was pretty good as well. So
USC, like, quarterback.
Yeah. If I was USC, I would feel very happy with my start to the season, because the Big Ten is, it's after that win, like, I think it's in play for them.
Definitely makes you feel good if you could beat an SEC team going into the Big Ten schedule. Especially, too, I saw a bunch of people commenting on the game. It's like, LSU looks so much faster than USC. Well, I mean, the final score doesn't indicate that. He's Joe and Paul. Because we did play Brian Kelly throwing a temper tantrum, I thought we could put this on the table. Who are people in the world of sports that you like to root against? Because I think everybody enjoyed, deep down inside, watching Brian Kelly squirm. And quick thoughts on the very few things that happened last week that I didn't get a chance to blab about. It is Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros are on a roll. They've won five in a row. They open up a series against the Cincinnati Reds this afternoon with Justin Verlander on the hill. The first pitch is at 3:00. We hope you're having a good Labor Day, assuming you have the day off. We two scabs are here for you and in the commercial break, we were trying to figure out why it is that Brian Kelly is so disliked. I brought up that as the head coach of Notre Dame, he had that student who went up in the elevated camera tower, which fell over during a storm. And I assume that was the big reason. But, Joe, that was something that
I forgot.
You had to remember.
Yeah, honestly, like I forgot that that had happened.
Some Notre Dame fan, but hey, I know. It's fine. It's fine. You know, you overlook.
Hey, they went 10-2 that year, all right?
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, you overlook how the sausage is made. But on a serious note, why is it that Brian Kelly is so disliked? Because he's short? Because his face?
I think it's he left Cincinnati and Notre Dame, I think, in ways that are people don't view fondly. I mean,
it's weird, though, because, I mean, you would leave Cincinnati for Notre Dame in a heartbeat.
But there was
what's wrong with that?
There was an outside shot that Notre Dame could have made the college football playoff when he had left and signed his contract with LSU. Like, depending on how the championship games played out, the conference championship games, like, there was, like, a small chance. Notre Dame, I think, was number 6 at the time when that happened. So people thought there was a chance that, you know, he was leaving his team and they could have made the college football playoff. A lot of it's the LSU stuff more now than I think Notre Dame. Part of it is being connected to Notre Dame. People just don't like Notre Dame. They don't like the traditions, but they don't like how they're put on this pedestal when they don't actually achieve anything, which I understand.
It's because there's a lot of nostalgia attached to Notre Dame's relevance, and it's Cowboys adjacent, except for with the Cowboys, you do feel like there's a chance that they will figure this out eventually. With Notre Dame now, and I think that's why Brian Kelly left, there is, I think, a ceiling that you can win at that program because of the academic restrictions and just the fact that it's in South Bend, no matter how much history
The fact that they're doing NIL and they're dropping like millions of dollars on players and stuff like kind of blows my mind. I actually thought that's what they were going to get left behind in the NIL and transfer portal stuff. But then with LSU, it is the family comment when he said we're a family and he tried to do a Louisiana accent and then denied it. It's the first
that was awesome though.
It's the first TikTok or Twitter video that came out when there was the circular camera going around and he was throwing up and dancing with the player who didn't even commit to LSU.
Okay.
Like, so I think it's
so he looks goofy?
Yes. I think there is a cheesiness factor with Brian Kelly that turns people away.
Okay. He's not authentic.
Yeah. I think that's part of it.
I also think it is his face. It's his face and his
punchable face.
Punchable. How red it gets is also very
red.
Not quite
Mike Shanahan red.
Yeah.
Like, no one out. Shanahan's the Shanahan.
No, but I feel like he's just one of those coaches. It's really interesting where there's like Bill O'Brien too, where just people are just like even people that don't have interactions with Bill O'Brien or just look at him and just like, I don't like this guy. Like, there's just a snap kind of, like, judgment with,
it's
like...
anti-masshole.
It might be. Honestly, this might just come down to both these guys are from Massachusetts.
That explains a lot about me. That's where I just was. That's where I'm from. That's where my family's from. Interesting. So, if you got a reason as to why people hate Brian Kelly, I would love to hear it. That's on the table. You can also talk about the Houston Astros if you want. They're on a roll. I'm curious what your biggest questions are for the team. We'll talk about that at 1 o'clock, but... real quick, some hot takes on things that I didn't have a chance to talk about last week.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
Good job signing Jason Hayward. I saw that happen. I was stunned. I felt like they would think to themselves, well, Kyle Tucker's going to be back eventually. We're going to be able to figure things out in the outfield. But for them to, one, demote Chaz McCormick, and two, bring in Jason Hayward, who's not having a great year and also has the injury issues. I'm sure you're well aware of all of them, having been with the Chicago Cubs most recently. But the guy can field, and while he's a 200 hitter, who do you trust?
Came through.
Right, he came through. Came through in his first game. And who do you trust more right now, Jason Hayward hitting about 200 or Chaz McCormick at all? It's pretty easy, and I'm glad the Astros made this move.
Yeah, you believe in more the guy you don't know than the guy you've seen fail for so long. I mean, and Jason Hayward was like just coming off a walk-off against the Seattle Mariners a couple days before that. So there's just, it's better than Chaz. And I think he's here. We were talking about the roster construction, like once Kyle Tucker comes back.
because of Bregman not being able to play third, I think Gamel and Hayward stay on this roster.
I do too.
And then Dubon, because Dubon becomes more of an infielder in that moment, it's Whitcomb or DiZenzo, probably DiZenzo, that gets sent down.
I'm cool with either of those getting sent down as well. Really, you just got to hope that the Astros medical staff can have 2 good months. That's all we're asking for. Just 2 good months.
It's good 3 months. Well, I guess no, it's just September
and
October.
Two. Just two, just September and
October. Well, a little bit. I think it goes like a day into November.
Yeah, that's true.
So just give me like 63 days.
right, a little, just a couple of months of good work, okay? You can save your best for last. The Texans cut down their roster to 53 guys. I was a little surprised by Noah Brown being cut because Noah Brown has had some very good games for the Texans. I get it because of the injury concerns. 7 wide receivers on the roster, though, I do not understand that. 7.
It both those surprised me. The Noah Brown one, and then he got picked up by Washington, which I like that move for them if he's healthy. Put him with another rookie quarterback like he was last year, now for Jaden Daniels instead of C.J. Stroud. But 7 wide receivers, I'm curious how they're going to try to use them all.
Xavier Hutchinson, I don't. Good for him, but I don't really get it. Robert Woods, I do get that because he's got the history, but having watched him in training camp, it wasn't like he was taking, you know, the job by storm.
At least with Xavier Hutchinson, they can use like gimmick plays.
I guess.
Like, I don't really. I don't know. Robert Woods is the one I understand the least.
Yeah, Steven Sims is a returner. I don't understand Hutchinson. I don't really understand Woods either. Sean, did you have a thought?
No. Okay. I mean, when you said the trick plays with Hutchinson, I was like, can we not do those?
Like, I don't. Only with Tank Dell or Stephon Diggs. Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to see any of the other wide receivers.
I thought we were doing all the reverses and pop passes with Xavier Hutchinson last year because they had to. I didn't know that was something they wanted to
do. Right, exactly. I mean, even Nico Collins, who takes a little bit of time to get going, but you've done a couple of little speed sweeps with him, too. He's a beast once he gets going. 5 running backs, too. I didn't get that. British Brooks. Okay.
I think it's your fullback.
You don't need a fullback. It's 2024.
I know, but I think that's what he's there for.
I kept going on Twitter a couple of times and seeing all like the people who are considered to know football more than me now that I've been gone for a little bit of time. And yeah, I'm still bitter about it. But they're talking about like, oh man, I can't believe the Texans aren't going to have a fullback. They don't need one. No one needs a fullback. It's 2024. You have 3 wide receivers. When are you going to put this fullback on the field?
I don't know. Andrew Beck swung a couple games last year. So.
He did. We miss it.
As a kick returner.
Yeah, mostly as a kick returner.
And now, yeah, exactly. And now his watch has ended. And we're sad about it, but I mean, fullbacks, just you don't really need them. Put a tight end there. Tight end can do it. Tight end can do it.
And they're mostly going to. Like DJ, when he was on with us last week, he said he expects to see like Stover.
Yeah, Stover was getting a lot of work last week at fullback.
One last concern. 8 defensive linemen. You need more. You need more. DJ talked about it with us 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the defensive line depth doesn't look... I don't love it as much as I thought I was going to.
I'm in the same boat. I loved it. Now all of a sudden,
yeah. I was like looking at the 53, and I was like,
wait, they probably need more. They need more defensive linemen than receivers and running backs. To be perfectly honest,
yeah, you get to Hughes and Barnett faster than you'd want.
Christian Harris on IR. That is a bummer. Colorado football. My God, I love them so much. They just constantly deliver content. Okay, so what's worse, the Twitter account for Colorado trying to troll a 1AA team that they beat by 5 points, or Deion Sanders spin zone for Shedeur Sanders with 1:47 to play, throwing a deep ball that was incomplete, saying, yeah, he was just trying to get his guy more involved. Oh, you're up 5. Game's not over, bub.
That's a good question, because I want to immediately say the football is the worst one, but I thought the social media thing was very lame.
Yeah, no, I'm with them on the trying to throw the ball late. I need them to cover. They didn't. So I saw the pass. I was like, we're on the same page, Deion. The social media stuff. I get it. That's what they do. It's pretty lame.
I love them. They just consistently deliver. I mean, it's a game against a 1AA team. They keep it a game, and they do that at the very end. They constantly give us content. I'm thankful for Colorado football. Yes, I cannot get their name out of my mouth, and I'm cool with that. 2 last thoughts. 1, hiking. Not that bad.
Okay.
I went hiking for the first time. Was surprised. Too many people out there. I did have intrusive thoughts. Don't worry. I didn't shove anybody off the side of a mountain. But move. Get out of the way. Move.
How was the elevation?
Not as bad as I thought it would be. I mean, my heart was racing a little bit, but that's more because I've just been a fat load of crap.
People, he's trying to figure out if he was going to hit the dump button or not.
It's Labor Day, but we're still on the radio.
And whitewater rafting, also pretty fun.
Ooh, I want to try that one.
It's pretty fun.
I'm going to pass on hiking. But
yeah, the guy that we had as my whitewater rafting captain, I guess? Coxswain? I don't know.
Coach?
Yeah. He was very engaging. He said, like, all right, Paul, you're going to jump in the water now. I was like, I am? He's like, yeah. So I jumped in the river. It was freezing cold. And
I am?
Yeah, I just jumped in.
So he wasn't like a drill sergeant. It was more you're all on the – you're all rowing in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, hey, man, you're up.
Yeah. Jump in there, Paul. What?
Estes Park, Colorado, pretty cool place. I had bison ribs. Holy crap. Mm. Amazing. I had elk burger. There's elk everywhere. They are very, very comfortable there if you're a hunter. Just a heads up. They are very comfortable there. Like, they're just crossing the street. No rhyme or reason. No awareness. Just zero awareness. You could go up to one and punch them in the face. They'd probably be like, oh.
I was going to say you could feed them out of your hand. You said punch them in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. And
real Slytherin mode.
Well, listen. The burger was good. And I had lobster. So there we go. Yeah. There we go.
All right.
Lobster's great.
We missed you, Paul.
Was this like a ski town or a like
yeah.
resort town?
No, it's just like a random town in the mountains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. It's where the Shining's outside location was shot. Pretty cool. Okay. And yeah. Then I went to Boston, saw my family, and I hope I don't. I had an accent for 3 days because I had been around.
It just
people.
Comes back.
Really?
I've been around. Well, when I was in Colorado, we were with like our childhood friends, and they all have Boston accents, very thick ones. And then I was in Boston, and I was around other people with Boston accents. So I was very curious about what I would sound like when I first came back on the air today.
I don't hear it. I haven't heard it yet.
It was bad. I think on last...
We got to make him mad.
Yeah, I kind of wish we'd gotten that. Just like to get one show of Boston and Paul.
Just straight on Labor Day when no one's listening. Yeah. Like, yeah, that could be it. But yeah, it was funny coming back. I thought I would have it. I don't. Thank goodness.
We got to trigger him somehow. Like once we get, if we get you mad...
Does it come out that often?
No, but I just feel like that would be the most likely scenario in this moment where okay. we just pop back up.
Yeah, well, with like a little cussy-wussy, then we got to press the dump button. Anyway, he's Joe. That's Sean behind the glass. I'm Paul. It is Golan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A question for you about the Houston Astros. Have the Astros answered all of your questions? If not, what are left? Golan and George, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.